Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to our patrons on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially Jen, Jesus Vicente, Daniel, Adri, Saul Alexander, Abigail, Luis, Iris, and Kimberly. We definitely do not get paid to make this show, so your contributions go a very long way in hosting the site, advertising, and just the labor that goes into editing and everything. So if you'd like to support everything that goes into making this, feel free to, you know, support us. No amount is too little or too much. So just go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is your host, Cassandra.
And this is Ruben. Ruben. So how have you been this Aquarius season?
I didn't even realize it was Aquarius season. I feel like I've been dealing with stuff, so I haven't even thought about it. Oh my God, it's been going on for a while. I'm like, what date is it?
Yeah, we're like almost towards
we're already towards the end. That's how like my life has been. But I guess it's been, I don't know, like up and down. Like I have moments of like really high energy and then I go back to like being depressed. But I know that it's your season. So how's it been for you?
I've been good. I've been like busy and broke, but busy. And like getting shit done and looking forward to my 30th birthday on the 15th, you know?
Yes, and it's on a Friday too. My birthday was on a Friday too.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
No, like, you know, 30th birthday on a Friday, you get to party or do whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna have dinner with my family and then I'm gonna fly out to see my friends in the Bay. Yeah, that's about it. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm short that I don't feel like I look 30, and I feel like people don't treat me like I'm 30. Yeah.
I always think about that too. I'm like, do people look at me and know how old I am? Or like, because you look at yourself every day, so I don't know, I'm like, maybe I don't think of myself as aging. But there are moments where, like, I think around Thanksgiving, I didn't have my ID on me, and I told my mom to buy the wine for me because I knew that they were gonna ask or whatever, and the cashier was like, I need to see your ID, and I was like, I'm 30. And she was like, oh, okay. So I don't know, but like, but I feel like maybe I look like 3 years younger. I don't think I look super young.
Yeah, I don't think I look like 18 or whatever.
Yeah, like early 20s or something.
I feel like, but I look, you know, mid-20s, but there's something about, yeah, like my, I feel like I want the respect of being in my 30s, though, like, you know, like.
Yes, I feel that, too. I'm like, people don't take me seriously. I am a 30-year-old woman and a mother. Respect me.
Yeah.
But then when they're, like, calling me ma'am at Starbucks, I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I don't have that problem because
I think it's because I have a kid with me. So they're just like, you know, they just go to that. But that's fine. Remember when we were in, I think it was after our talk at Cal State LA, and we went to go have noodles, and the kids that we were with, they said we were elders.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well,
oh my God.
We need to learn from our elders or something like that.
Yeah, well, like mid conversation, and I was like, who are they talking about? And you were like, us. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's nice.
To be fair, like, I've been like considered an elder by like my community for a minute, like since I was like 22 probably. So,
cuz you're wise.
Yeah, so I've been taking care of like a bunch of people forever now. So, and then the funny thing about that too is that like half of those people that like ran into us there, they're like in their mid-20s too, so it's like,
yeah, I was like, okay, they're like younger, so so it's okay. Yeah, I'm like, oh, We're like queer elders, so cute.
And then the sad part of me is like, oh, it's because like all the elders from the 80s and like early 90s are dead because of the HIV crisis.
Oh my god, why'd you have to like do that? Like U-turn there.
Because I always think like, about that.
I know. I'm like, oh, so cute. You're like, yeah, it's because they're all dead.
Yeah.
Which is like important, but
they're like, dead. Yeah. No, I was like, no, I've been like, I like think about that more in the last few years because like I was talking to my friend who's this Chicana lesbian scholar who's like documenting like, you know, Chicana lesbians writing about their experience, right? And she was naming all these women who have written and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, there's so many. Like, I wonder why I haven't read like about as many like trans, like non-cis women, right? And like, and like queer men. And she was like, oh, like straight up, she was like, oh, it's because they all died. It's this, you know, the Chicana lesbian like thought was being formed in the 80s and like early 90s, right? And like, that's when our community, specifically like queer men, were impacted the most, right?
So, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And all we got left with was fucking
Gloria Zaldúa.
Sherry.
Shitty Moraga.
All right. Let's stop it right there. Let's stop it right there.
She's somebody's counselor. You should teach us at Stanford.
All right. So, let's get into it. I know I've been talking about
stuff. I'm still laughing at Shitty Moraga.
So as you all may know, I'm over here in El Paso, which has resurfaced in the spotlight again this week. I feel like now every time we like record, I'm like, oh, like I want to talk about this issue in El Paso, and then I'm like, am I like an El Paso like reporter now on business?
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. I'm like, oh, just to let you all know what's happening at the border.
Well,
it's like really relevant right now. So Trump had his State of the Union address shit. When was it? I don't even know. I didn't watch it. I know it was like, let's say it was Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. And I didn't watch it because I just buy. But apparently he had mentioned in his speech, which we can also want to get into his speech and all the Pelosi shit. But during his speech, he did say that El Paso was one of the most dangerous cities in the country, essentially. And being from El Paso, one thing that is like an El Paso thing is that El Paso is very, very safe. Like it always makes like the safest largest cities in the country list. And that's just something that I guess I would say that El Paso and people here pride themselves in, that they're just like, well, we're a really safe city. Also, given the fact that we're next to Juarez, and like that contrast, which is also another topic of, but that's just something that people in El Paso know, that El Paso is very safe. And when I'm talking about crime, right, like crime rate. And so when Trump said that, you know, everyone, well, I know that all the medias were like fact checking that. And everyone in El Paso was like, what the fuck? Like, that is a big lie. Like, that is not true. And so it turned into this whole conversation of like, I guess like memes being made, like jokes like, OK, well, El Paso is very safe and whatever. And so the very next day, he announced that he's going to have a rally here tomorrow, on Monday. So then that turned into like this whole other thing where everyone was like mad because he had just said this, you know, the day prior. And then all of a sudden now he's going to have a rally here. And so a lot of people were like, are upset about that. And all the local orgs started like announcing that counter protests that are going to happen. And it's just been like the talk, right, in El Paso. And again, like nothing really exciting happens in El Paso. Like I think this is like the 13th president that has come here, like ever. And so it's like a big deal. So all our local news is like reporting on it, and everyone's like, just like, are you gonna go? You know, it's just been a hot mess. But I have been thinking about what it means, I guess, to be safe in El Paso, because for the last few years, I would always pride. Say that too, like I'd be like in my head I would know like, oh, El Paso's so safe and it's so great. And it wasn't until I started undoing the Aztlan shit that I that like I was on that I was like, who is it safe for, right? Because my experience is not the same as everyone else in El Paso. Like, yes, El Paso is safe for me and I feel safe roaming the streets at night, or I feel safe in my home, in my city. But then I'm like, because we're at the border, do undocumented people feel safe here? Like, do they go around saying, oh, El Paso's so safe, it's like such a safe city? I don't think so. Also, like, again, we're at the border and there's a lot of militarization here. And then I was also like, well, why is it safe, right? Because a lot of the liberal orgs are like, we need to, like, essentially, like, thank our police for keeping us safe. So it goes back to, like, we're safe because of the militarization. We're safe because of police. And I'm just like, why? Like, no. And also, just, like, having all these conversations with myself, right? Like, just trying to unpack that. But overall, like, crime rate, El Paso is quote-unquote safe, right? And so I don't know. I knew that, like, all these counter-protests were going to start popping up. And, like, that's, I think, a good thing, regardless of the politics that these orgs have. I think just having, like, a massive protest to say that El Paso does not want fucking Trump here, that El Paso does not want a fucking border wall here, or whatever, you know? But then, you know, liberals being liberals, they just kind of took this whole massive protest in another direction. For example, O'Rourke, he all of a sudden decided that he's going to use this moment to have an event himself. So initially it was like everyone's going to go to where the event is and protest outside, right? Which is what I think should happen. And all of a sudden now it's like everyone's going to march to some other place, like a block away, to Beto O'Rourke's speech event. And I think that he's actually going to announce his presidency there, which I have a big fucking problem with. And I think it's so, I just think it's trash of him to use this like moment and like hijack it and make it about himself, because I feel that El Paso does need to be, or that El Paso, people in El Paso do need to protest and show that they're upset and angry about what Trump has done to our community. And all of a sudden it's like a photo op, and all of a sudden it's like some electoral bullshit that's not even going to take place at the event anymore because of fucking Beto O'Rourke and Veronica Escobar. So I'm like very upset about that. And the people that are organizing this is like the fucking Women's March here in El Paso, which I have like a really big problem with. And I know that there's a lot of chapters, you know, like there's a lot of the women's marches like in different cities, right? And I'm not saying that all of those orgs are trash. I feel like some of them might be trying to be inclusive at their own marches and like do work, right? But like the one here, they really don't do shit except like the women's march, and then sometimes they do like electoral things like throughout the year, but it's not like organizing, it's not anything important, I would say. So they're organizing this, and I'm like, well, first you're organizing that and you let O'Rourke hijack your event and turn it into his event. And then you also are planning this march at this historic high school, Bowie High School, which is like in the south side of El Paso by the border. I don't know, to make a statement, I guess. And it's like this school has been under threat for so many years because it hosts a lot of immigrant students there, because it is at the border and it's like low income students. And some like people in that community have been organizing and fighting back against environmental racism and a lot of like what the district does at that school, just like a lot of shit. And like the El Paso Women's Marcher, all of these people have never showed up for them. Like they have never included their fight in theirs, which is a fucking feminist fight, because it's a lot of mothers who are fighting for like their children's education and who are facing environmental racism, right? And just like all of these things like that are happening right now, I'm like super like upset and annoyed by it, and I keep ranting every day on Facebook, and like I don't give a shit because I'm just like annoyed. I'm upset that Trump is coming here, but I'm even more upset at like how like the liberal politicians and organizations here are handling that situation, where it's just like for their own personal agenda instead of directing all of this at fucking Trump. who wants to, like, build a fucking border wall here. So I know, like, we always ran about fucking liberals, and I feel that we're just going to keep doing it even more so, like, for the next 2 years, given, like, the election. And it's probably annoying to some people, especially people that maybe are still struggling with why liberalism is bad or why we hate liberalism so much, right? But it's like, these are just things that need to be addressed, because I just feel like, given our what's happening and what has happened since Trump's administration taken over, I feel like, why are we still being fucking passive? Like, why are we still being like, love Trump's hate? And everyone in El Paso keeps posting, like, everyone be peaceful and don't let him, you know, let's show the rest of the country that we are a safe city. Like, these are like the posts that keep being reposted, and I'm like, just so annoyed, because I'm like, when has El Paso ever been quote unquote violent? Like, we never have actions here, because these are the actions they want to do, like, just march to a fucking Aurora camp rally. I don't know, I'm just super annoyed by all of it.
Yeah, and that's like liberalism, right? So like, right now in this example that you're showing us, like, liberalism deflates any, like, radicalism, right, that happens. Because ultimately, like, real radicalism threatens the, you know, the powers that be. And liberals themselves are in power, right? Because liberalism deflates, you know, any radicalism, it means it, like, takes any momentum from any actual radical movement. So right now that people want to shut down shit in El Paso, right, instead of actually, like, having an impact, what they're doing is pacifying folks, right? They're like, oh, we're gonna go to this, like, white savior dude, you know, Beto O'Rourke, who seems to be, like, a liberal fave right now, and, like, rally behind him. And it's, like, it's not affecting the system. It's just giving you, like, someone else to worship. And so I think that's something that folks have to be, like, worry of, like, what is being presented to me? How are these, you know, these alternatives, certain alternatives are being presented as, like, good or better than the, you know, that the Trumpians, you know, or whatever. But how is it better? Right? Just because they're not Trump doesn't mean they're somehow, you know, magically better. So I think that needs to be examined by folks.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. And the event is tomorrow. So there are... And there are some people that I've been, you know, linking up with who are not about that shit, who actually do want to do some kind of protest. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I, like I said, I rumor has it that O'Rourke is going to announce his presidency. And, like, I feel like, of course he would. That's, like, a perfect, I feel like that's what he's trying to do. You know, it's like, Trump is having this event here, and so I'm going to be over here. And it's just like, why? Why couldn't you do that? So, you know, at another time, but I'm just...
That whole thing reminds me of, like, I think when I kind of, like, lost my respect for Mecha, because I was in a Trump shutdown protest. That was one of my big, like, that was one of the most notable things for me. Yeah, so I went to Mecha Nationals when I was a big Mechista. A couple years back. Wow,
Nationals.
Yeah, and I went to Nationals. I was so hype about it. And it was when Trump was still, like, holding, like, rallies for the... It was 2016, 15? And he went to Arizona, to Tucson, actually. And it just so happened that, like, that's where Nationals was, Mecha Nationals was, right? And it was, like, you know, Mechistas, you know, the most down motherfuckers, supposedly... from all over the country, right? And so me and some other, like, women and queer folks and trans folks were like, oh, yeah, no, let's go shut this down. We have, like, what, 300, 400 people here, Mechistas? Like, we got this, right? And so we were trying to rally people, and guess how many people ended up going?
5.
Like, not even. I mean, we were lucky that it was, like, 20 of us, but it was all women, and it was all queer folks and trans folks, and, like...
Always at the front.
And meanwhile, the men, like, the cishet men were, like, the face of the whole, like, you know, Nationals weekend. And we're, like, this is such typical. Like, we're doing the actual work. Like, we got spat at. We got, like, maced. We got, you know, beaten. The cops were helping the white supremacists. It was a shit show. And meanwhile, like, the cishet men were just, like, giving, like, según ellos, like, radical, like, lectures and workshops, right, on how to be an activist. And it's like, this is how you're an act, this is how you're, like, an organizer activist, by, like, going for it, not by, like, sitting around in a room talking about it all the fucking time. And after that, I was like, that's what y'all are. Y'all just fucking talk and y'all don't do shit. Like, and I was like, that really changed, like, how I viewed, like, the national org, I guess. That and, like, the whole weekend was a shit show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. And it's always like, yeah, who's at the forefront of most of, like, the community work, community organizing, direct actions, protests? It's, like, Black women, women, queer people, trans folks, undocumented people. Like, where are all the men's at? Listening to Residente, I yeah. guess, at meetings. I don't know. But yeah, I can't believe I'm gonna see Trump in person. It's so weird.
Oh my god, tell him I said, like, hi.
I know. I don't know, guys. If I get arrested or something, please hold it down for me on the outside.
Who's gonna run Chicanismo with you and Gerald?
I know. They're like, we heard Chicanismo was here, so we need to find her and get her out of here. No, but liberals, like, I said, we're going to keep talking. People are probably annoyed. You guys are all probably annoyed that we keep talking about liberals in every fucking episode since, like, our inception. But
they're just so annoying.
They're just so annoying, and it's going to be even more for the next 2 years, so buckle up. And on that topic, I did want to talk about... I kind of just wanted to go over this list of who has officially announced for their 2020 presidential candidacy. So we'll go down the list, and then you can tell me if you know them, Ruben, or not, okay?
I don't know her.
I don't know the whole list. So we have, let's see, I don't know who was officially the first person. I'm just looking at a random list. I don't know if it's, like, alphabetical. Yeah, it is alphabetical. So actually, Elizabeth Warren announced yesterday that she's running officially. And how do you feel about Elizabeth Warren?
The same way I feel about Chicanexus, who just, like, claim indigenous ancestry.
Without, oh my god. Without, I know.
Without having, like, you know, any actual claims to it, right? Or any actual, like, direct ties. I think that's some, like, so in case you don't know, like, Elizabeth Warren declared, like, last year that she, you know, was, like, 1/16th Cherokee ancestry, like, on her mom's side or some shit, right? And the Cherokee Nation.
It's always Cherokee.
Yeah. No, and it's okay, and I'm going to get to that. It's always Cherokee in the same way that, like, for Chicanexus. It's always
Aztec.
Yup. It's always Aztecs for the Chicanexus. And it's like, because they flatten the way indigeneity is, right? It's not just ancestry and, like, blood quantum. That's some shit that, like, the white man made up, right? He was like, oh, like, in order to get rid of indigenous people, they're like, oh, you have to have this much indigenous blood in you. And what do they do to avoid that? You know, they raped, they murdered, they ensured that nobody could have that, you know, that certain amount of indigenous blood, right? So indigenous people are like, this is not the way we are, right? We are about community connection, about tradition, about culture. And so the Cherokee Nation was like, you know, we don't know this bitch. Like, she's not one of us. Like, we don't fuck with her. Like,
and like official statement.
Yeah, official. Official statement. Like, in the Cherokee letterhead and everything. But it's, like, that's how I feel about her. And, like, she apologized recently, and it's, like, okay, bitch, the damage is done. Like, it's, like, people, like, put out papers that she was been, like, claiming, like, indigenous ancestry for, like, scholarships and things like that. And it's just, like, typical
for scholarships?
White yeah, or shit like that. Like, oh for different God. Documentations have come out that she claimed indigeneity. And it's just, like, it's some typical white people shit, yeah. But also, like, people keep, like, calling her and using, like, Rob Lowe recently, the day she announced it, they were like, oh, they're gonna change the meaning of commander in chief, right? And it's like,
Rob Lowe, and oh my
god, and it's like,
okay, go on,
shit like this shit that white people do, like, that, like, appropriates indigeneity, like, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't affect white people, it affects indigenous people, right? So all these, like, you know, the slurs, like, you know, when people are calling her Pocahontas, right? Which, again, is fucked up on multiple levels. A, because she's not indigenous. B, because Pocahontas was like, you know, a victim of like trafficking and like settler colonialism. Like, there's just so many levels of fucked up that at the end of the day don't affect Elizabeth Warren, because she's still a rich ass like white woman politician in her little, you know, her little throne room or whatever. So that's how I feel about her. I think that this is a very good moment for Chicanexes to be very introspective about the way that they approach indigeneity, you know, the way they treat it sometimes as a costume, when it's like, it's not, it's it like, it was so easy for us to be like, oh, that white woman is out of her mind, like, you know, claiming Cherokee without any ties. And it's like, look around you and how many other Chicanexes do the same, right? How many other Chicanexes claim X and Y indigeneity without any actual ties, any actual knowledge, right, of their culture? And it's not easy enough to say, oh, we were colonized, right? Like, because, you know, same shit could be said about Elizabeth Warren. Like there's no excuse for appropriation, for taking culture that isn't yours, right? I think that it's important for us to see where we are as a people and how we can move forward with this new understanding of identity, instead of like taking things that are not our lived experience.
Yes, everything spot on. I was gonna bring that up about it's like, I hate that it's coming also just like from Trump whenever he calls her like Pocahontas or like makes jokes about it, because I'm like, you're the fucking president. Like, what? But yeah, like aside from that, it's like, she's not actually native. So these jokes, quote unquote jokes, are actually just affecting actual indigenous people, you know? And Rob Lowe needs to shut the fuck up. He's a fucking pedophile.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't. What is the tea?
He, I believe, was dating, I don't even want to say the word dating, or with, like, a 15-year-old when he was, like, 20. I don't know. I don't know the exact information, but I remember this popped up, like, 2 years ago, aside from, like, some racist comments that he had made, too. And I don't have the receipts on this because I didn't know we were going to talk about Rob Lowe. But I'm sure you can look him up on Twitter, because he did get dragged. And so it's not surprising to me that he said he made a joke like that. Which is like, it was, yeah, I remember when that happened, because I was like, oh, like, I like Parks and Rec, you know, like, this is sad.
Oh my God, everybody on Parks and Rec is a scumbag, like Aziz.
Right! Chris Pratt. Oh. I'm like, the only notable person there is like Aubrey Plaza.
And I love Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, she's like the only person like that is not trash from that show.
Amy Poehler's trash too.
I know, it's like, why? But yeah, so Elizabeth Warren, yeah. And you know what, I had actually posted, I don't know if it was when she had said that, I don't know, it was like some article a while ago about that, about how she's a native, and I posted on Chicanisma, and I was like, oh, when you get your DNA your ancestry results back or some shit like that. And a lot of people, like a lot of quote Chicanexes in the comments were like upset about it. They were like, because every time I say like anything about like, let's stop appropriating like indigenous identity and culture, et cetera, et cetera, like a lot of Chicanexes try to be like, well, who are you to say that I'm not indigenous, and who are you're like, you're gatekeeping and all this stuff. And it's like, listen, I used to be one of you, okay? I had that phase too, sadly. I did think that being Chicana automatically equated indigenous, and that I had a right to say that I was indigenous. And I mean, I didn't do any, like, I didn't join like the fucking danza or anything notable like that, but I would feel like, I felt like I had a right to say that. I felt like I had a right to say that I was indigenous or native or whatever. And like, looking back on it now, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, but again, it's like, it's just something that, it's just what Mecha feeds you, or like what the Chicanex.
What the Chicano industrial complex.
Chicano industrial complex feeds you, period. And there's like no unpacking that. And like, now I'm like, you know, yes, I am of indigenous descent, and people in my family line might have been indigenous. I wouldn't know that. Like, I don't know that, you know, but that doesn't make me indigenous. And I don't go around saying I am indigenous, because that's ridiculous, and I'm not. But yeah, Everything you said was great, and we should come back to this conversation. But so we don't know her.
Who else is running?
We already talked about Kamala Harris on our last episode, but we wanted to talk a little bit about her and some of her bullshit that resurfaced recently. So aside from the fact that Kamala Harris is a fucking cop, and there's like this one tweet I saw, or a meme that was like, Kamala Harris is a cop. That's it. That's the meme or something. I'm like, that's all you need to know.
So there was this other meme that was like Kamala Harris in her first, like, her first week in office, and it's that one, like, video of that one girl who's like, y'all are going to jail, period! You don't know what I'm talking about.
I saw that one, too. Yeah, so, there were some videos that surfaced recently on Twitter, and I don't know how old they were. I'm assuming they're recent. They're not, like, 10 or 20 years ago, but
I mean, they were from 2012.
I don't even know where she's at. From 2012. I don't know where she was at. It looked like it was kind of like a TED, whatever you say that, like one of those talks, except it's not. So she's talking to like an audience, obviously, but I don't know the context of where she is, but that's beside the point. She is, so Kamala Harris had like
Kamala had
a truancy thing in practice, or that she put it in, and she created it. And it was, I don't know if you all remember, because I remember, like, if you're absent when you're in high school and you're truant and it falls on your parents and your parents have to go to fucking court or they're fined, because that happened to me in high school, by the way. My dad had to go to, like, court. Yeah, I don't remember if he had to pay, but he was pissed. And it was, like, I didn't even live with my dad. I live with my mom. But it was just a hot mess because, obviously, like, I think I was a senior, like, a junior, and I just didn't go to class, like, I just didn't go to class, and it fell on like my parents, who to me like had fucking nothing to do with it. You know, it's not like they were like, you're going to fucking school. So anyway, I don't know if some people like this has happened to, or like if this is your first time hearing about this, like you were like, what? I didn't know this was a thing, but it is a thing. And specifically in Northern California, or was it specifically like a specific city?
It's in the whole state. It was in the Bay, so it was in Oakland, the Bay. San Francisco,
like,
yeah.
Oakland. So she set that into motion there, where, like I just explained, so pretty much if your child misses like a number, has a number of absences, they're gonna get a fine, they're gonna go to court, they're gonna get penalized, essentially criminalized, right? And she's like giving this speech about it, and she's just happy as shit in the speech, which is really disturbing to me.
Yeah,
and
she was like,
gives
happy
like
as
this
fuck.
One specific example, or like one specific like story about how there was a few kids that she was happy when she was telling the story. So she's like, there, you know, there was a couple of kids who were missing class, and I don't know if she said she arrested the mom or she was going to.
She threatened the mom with arrest.
She threatened the mom with arrest, and she was like, this mom had three kids. She was fucking homeless. This mom was homeless, and she threatened her with arrest because her kids didn't go to school. And I don't even care how many fucking absences they had, to be honest. It's like, and she kind of just made it into this feel good story of like, because I threatened her with arrest, we were able to give her, you know, services. If I wouldn't have threatened her with arrest, then she wouldn't know that these services were available to her. And if you watch the video, it's just so disturbing, because we're telling you, like, she's really fucking happy to be sharing the story. And it's disgusting, because I'm like, oh, so you're criminalizing already low, like, poor fucking women who are homeless, instead of saying, how can we help you? Instead of saying, like, what can we do for you to help your children get a better education, or to give you a fucking place to stay, whatever, you know? It's like, we're threatening you with arrest. That's what we're doing.
And that's like, I think we have to clear that with folks, because some folks might be like, oh, what's wrong with wanting kids to not be truant? Like, education is so important, like, blah blah. And it's just like, okay, the problem with putting people in jail because their kids are missing school is that, like, or even threatening with that, right? Some people also defend Kamala with the fact that, like, she didn't persecute that many people, like, on the real with it. Like, it was more, like, of a threat. And it's like, the threat of prison is always looming for people of color. Like, specifically black people who make up most of Oakland, right? So, the threat, like, you don't need to threaten people with something that's already there, right? B, it's like, that's like attacking like a side effect of bigger systemic problems, right? It's part of like this broken window, what people call like a broken window policy, where people say like, oh, we're like in, you know, like in very desolate areas, you'll see buildings with broken windows, and people think like, oh, those windows are not fixed because nobody cares, right? What people don't think is like, oh, those windows haven't been fixed because people don't have the resources to fix them, right? So that's the way, that's kind of like how she functions, right? She functioned like, oh, these kids are not going to school because their parents don't care. Not like these kids are not going to school because their parents are having difficulty bringing their kids to school, right? So, you know, because, you know, for this example, people are homeless, like people, you know, don't have adequate transportation, and things like that, right? Those are the problems that need to be addressed before we can even talk about truancy, right? For me, I was also very truant. Like, my junior year in high school, I almost didn't show up. Like, if it wasn't for cross country and track and, like clubs, like, I would not mm-hmm. have shown up to stuff. Like, there would be days when I would just show up during lunchtime, which was, like, right before cross country practice, just to say that I was in school, right? So I can go to practice, so I can go to my club meetings. And, like, so, but what was going on? Like, why wasn't I going to school? And it was, like, I didn't have transportation. I was bullied in school. Like, school felt like a, you know, jail. I went to inner city school where there was 6,000 students, right? And we had very tall, spiky fences. Cops were always circling the place. Like, it felt like a prison. Like, and I have people in prison that I visited. Like, they're, you know, and people my age too. Like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, they were getting us, it was getting us ready for prison, right? It's a school to prison pipeline. Once they get us used to a certain environment, that's the kind of environment that we call home, right? So classes were hella full. There was like 60 to 80 students sometimes in a classroom. Like, I remember like being bullied in front of teachers and then them being too overwhelmed to do anything. So I was like, why the fuck should I even show up, right? The problem there wasn't that my parents didn't care. It was that everything else made it impossible for me to think of school as like a positive learning space, right? So in this case, like, instead of like arresting my parents, somebody who wanted to actually address systemic problems would be like, okay, we need more counselors, we need like smaller classrooms, we need more attentive teachers, we need anti-bullying initiatives, we need like so many other things outside of like thinking about like, oh, the problem is parents don't care, let's put them in jail. Like, so that's just like explain to y'all like why, you know, her policy, this particular policy was bad, right? Because we can talk about hella other shit she's done, which I've talked about before. Like, we have talked about, like, Sesta Fosta. She was behind that, too. Like, which has put sex workers in danger. It's just, like, to me, as someone who has been affected by her policies on multiple levels and has folks, like, there is nothing good about her. There is no lesser evil. To me, she is also evil, right? Just like Trump. You know, she may not be spilling out all the bigotry, but it's, like, ultimately, she still wants to put some things in motion that will still affect the people that I care about in very real ways.
Yeah, and going back to the truancy thing, it's also, yeah, I mean, the reasons, the list that we gave right now, it's just a lot more than that, because I think, especially with students who are absent because they're sick, right? And I think when I was sick, when I was, like, not everyone has insurance. Not everyone's going to take their kid to get a doctor's note for it to be excused. A lot of time, you just have to wait it out. And that's another, that's like the biggest thing for me, because like my son, sometimes he gets sick a lot because he was a sick baby, and I feel like they think I'm just lying and I don't want to send him to school. And sometimes like I just don't take him to the doctor because sometimes his insurance is not in play. And so it's like a lot of those reasons, but it just really upsets me that it's like criminalizing mostly like all parents, but mostly like poor parents and working parents who probably assume that their kid is in school, right? Because I know like when I was in school, my mom worked all the time, so she wasn't constantly checking I'm sorry guys, I just got over a cold, constantly checking if I was in school. And that's not to say that she didn't care, right? But also going back to the to the education thing, there was another video that people shared, and it looks like it's from the same speech, though I could be wrong. And Kamala Harris is talking shit about people who say more schools, no prisons, essentially. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yes.
God. So she's like parading around also very happy as shit in this video. And she's like, I was at a Democratic rally or something. And she's like, and people were saying, what is the chant? I don't know. It's like escaping right now. It's like,
no prisons, schools, not prisons.
Yeah. Like schools, not prisons, essentially, which is like, why is that like some controversial thing, right? That we obviously spend so money on the prison industrial complex and have no money for fucking school, which is why teachers are on strike right now. But anyway, so she's like, she's making fun of people who say that essentially in her speech. Like she's like, you know, people, you know, with their posters and they're like, you know, more schools, less prisons. And she literally gives a speech about how
we need more prisons.
We're wrong. How we need more prisons and how we're misinformed and we don't really mean that when we say that. And it just makes no fucking sense. How can you say we need more I don't understand how you go on a speech and trying to make that claim. Like and for people to want her as a president, it makes no sense to me.
Because people are just, like, about their little representation politics. Yes, like, you already know how these liberals be. And it's, like, they don't look at anything beyond that. And it's so annoying because, like, already people are, like, using her identity as some sort of, like, reason why we can't criticize her, right? I've already seen shit like, oh, Bernie bros or, you know, these, like, far leftists are attacking her because she's a black woman, right? Or a Muslim woman.
Yes, I already saw that Bernie claim. And I'm like, can we pause for a second? I don't know if Bernie Sanders has officially announced that he's running for president.
Oh, my God.
I don't see him on this list, but I know that people have said he's either going to or... I just, like no, I said, can I we please leave him it. In 2016?
Yeah.
Please stop. Like, I just... Bye. Like, he's done.
He's so done. He tried.
Yeah. He's done. He tried. Bless his heart. But it's not going to happen. Like, just leave the Bernie shit alone, please.
Stop trying to make Bernie Sanders happen. Like I said,
stop trying to make him happen. Poser grandpa, fuck out of here. Let's see, who else is on this list? Julian Castro. Oh. I think this is a candidate that's going to come up a lot for us.
Yeah.
Because he is a fucking Chicano. He's a fucking Chicano from
just
San
like
Antonio,
Ted
Texas.
Cruz.
He's a brown Ted Cruz. Just kidding. Calm down, everybody. No, I just feel because he's like the quote unquote first brown. They're gonna just. Oh my god, I can already feel like the Chicanos just are
losing
not gonna
their
accept
entire
any
mind.
Any critique about this guy. Like they are not gonna stand for it.
Already, I put a critique of he literally is, like, for the border. He voted to, like, fund the border and shit. And, like, somebody was like, can I be happy that somebody from San Antonio is, like, nominated? And I'm like, no, bitch. You can't be happy. Like,
I'm like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just... I'm sure we'll talk about him some more as like the election goes on, but I already know that he's going to be the Chicano's fave. Let's see who else is on this list.
Spears.
Kirsten Gillibrand.
Girl, I don't know that.
You familiar with her?
Nope.
She sounds familiar to me.
Did she play Mary Jane in the first Spider-Man?
Some of these people we're not familiar with. Okay, so we'll come back to her. I'm sure she's trash too, because everyone on this list. Let's see. Tulsi Gabbard?
Never heard of her.
People were upset with her. I'm not familiar with her, but I saw some people that were like, nah. So we'll come back to these people. There's some people that I've never heard of before. Someone named John Delaney. Someone named Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, Booty's got my vote.
These are all for the Democratic shit.
We're not even going for the Republic. We're not even gonna go over the Republicans because we already know that that's not what we're doing.
Someone named Andrew Yang. It just says he's an entrepreneur from New York. Filed to run in 2017. So he was probably the first person that filed, and yet no one knows who he is.
Oh my god, wait, can we file just like randomly? How does this work?
I don't know. I don't know if you need money. That would be cool. And then let's see. Going back to Pete Buttigieg, he's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Nope. John Delaney is a former U.S. representative from Maryland. Nope. Tulsi Gabbard is a U.S. representative from Hawaii. Yeah. Someone had a problem with her. People wasn't have problems
there,
with her.
Wasn't there one of them that was like, oh yeah, we need to give black people like $10 billion in reparations?
There was. And I'm trying to think if that was the person I just mentioned, or if she was the Kirsten. Because I remember I saw a video of this white woman. She was like the most sound person. But we'll come back to her. Because there was someone that is running that did say that she was all about reparations. Like she had you know, I don't want to say she's like the best because I don't know her. I don't know like her past. I don't really know. But just given that video, she sounded like the most just like sound person to run. But we don't know her name. And it's probably we'll figure it out. We should have been a little bit more prepared. Who else? I think that's it. And then, oh, Cory Booker. Oh, bless his heart. Cory Booker. You don't know him? Cory Booker is like Kamala Harris. That he's like, well, no, he's not. I think he's more likable than her. I think he's like a very, because I think at one point a few years ago a lot of people liked him on Twitter, and then I think over the years they were just like just very liberal. So these are some of the people, or that people that have filed so far. Just like a hot mess. You know what's going to be interesting to me is that all of these people are going to have to talk shit about each other. That's like the most interesting part to me, because after like one of them wins, then they're all friends again, or they act like they are.
Like Ted Cruz.
So
and
can
Trump.
You imagine? Yeah, can you imagine like O'Rourke having to talk shit to Kamala Harris, or like Bernie Sanders talking shit to like Elizabeth Warren?
She was a floozy in college. Like,
oh my god, that is so. Okay. But yeah, that's a Hillary Clinton's gonna announce tomorrow too.
Wait, Cory Booker has been dating Rosario Dawson, says Page Six.
Ooh, you he was dating Rosario Dawson?
Apparently.
What?
He's Rosario, single.
Why would you do that?
Girl, she was, you know, what's it, campaigning for Bernie, so it is what it is.
This is what's going to come out during the election. This is how they're all going to fight.
Oh my god, what if Rosario Dawson is our first lady? This is the only reason I would vote for him.
I'm like, we all need to see your partners, please. The partners need to fight it out, too. So, some shit about the Democratic Party that has been happening this week is blackface.
Oh my god.
Democrats in blackface.
In Black History Month, of all things.
Yes. And I'm trying to pull up the main guy, the guy. So if you all weren't aware, there was like a Democrat, and I'm trying to pull it up so we can know what exactly his title is. I don't know if it was random, like someone posted on Twitter, like I was going through my yearbook, or I was going through this yearbook from like late 80s from some high school. I don't know if it was high school or like college, but it was like one of the Democrats were like in blackface next to someone in a KKK outfit.
Oh.
And you know, it was like people were fucking pissed, rightfully so. And he refused to resign because people were calling for him to resign. And he made a statement that was like, no, I'm not going to resign. Like, I think he made like a fake apology, but he was like, no, like that happened essentially like a long time ago. So, nah, not resigning. But I bring that up also in relation to Cory Booker, because I just saw a video right before we started recording of Cory Booker defending this person. And he was like, let's put ourselves in white people's shoes.
No.
Yeah, he literally said that. And he was like, I had a white friend come up to me and ask me why blackface was wrong. You know, we grew up in like the 80s and they might not know why it's such a big deal. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, in the 80s or whenever, whenever you do blackface, like, white people really, like, you want us to believe that white people don't know what they're doing is wrong. And that we should empathize or sympathize for them. What the fuck?
And also, like, hot take, like,
these are the people running for president, okay?
Yeah, and if they're so disconnected, why are we voting for them? Like, I don't know why that discussion is not on the table. Like, why are we voting for these disconnected ass people? Like, why are they held in such high regard? Like, I'm so lost. Like, can someone explain that to me?
And now that I'm Googling it, there's just actually a bunch of names coming up. So, ooh, like I said, I also think there was a second person that also came out in the, like, the same style photo. So it's just, there's also someone from Florida here, state, and, like, it's just a lot of, I guess they're all popping up, apparently. It's just, like, a lot of Democrats and blackface are popping up. So that's just to say, again, to point out that Democrats aren't the nice guy. They're not anti-racist. They're not, they're just friendlier. Let's put it that way.
A friendly face to the,
to their racism, yeah. Like, Gina Rodriguez. Let's give an update on Gina Rodriguez, because I feel like this bitch,
I feel like people are probably, like, I don't even care about her that much, but she's always even, like, she always, she does something like every week.
But a quick update, because we've talked about her as much as we talk about liberals on the show, is that a few weeks ago she was on she was doing an interview, and they asked her, the hosts were a black man and a black woman, and they asked her about the anti-black back comments that she made in the backlash, and she gave the worst performance ever, where she, like, fake cried and there was no tears coming out of her fucking eyes.
It's because maybe she had no tears left to cry, eh?
Luca likes that song. Wait, yeah, I think that's the song he likes. He likes one of Ariana Grande's songs. Anyway, so she is, like, crying, like, being such a white fucking woman, crying. And, you know what? I don't even want to say a white woman. She's being a Latina, a non-black Latina, because I also feel like we need to stop somehow separating our bullshit from white people's, because we do the same fucking shit. So she's fucking crying and saying how hard it was for her, and that she busts out with her dad is Afro-Latino, and saying that the black community is essentially her community, which is, it is not. And it's just, like, another cringe-worthy moment from fucking Gina Rodriguez. And this is what I mean. I feel like if Gina from the beginning had just been like, I said this, I, even if you didn't, because one of the things she said in this interview where she's fake crying was, I know what's in my heart.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate that. I hate when people say that, because I'm like, no, bitch, I don't know what's in your heart. Because all we know is what you fucking said. You know, like, so you saying, like, I know what's in my heart, like, well, no, we kind of don't. So, and it's like, I think people are like, well, I didn't mean to offend people. I didn't mean to do this. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you meant to do it or not. The bottom line is that you did it, right? Like, and it's just better. It would have been better for her to say, I said this, or I did this, and I listened to what everyone was saying, and I'm going to do better, and this is how I'm going to do better. And instead of here, like, I don't know how many years later, you're crying on a black radio show. Like, how, why? And I also listened to this other interview she did on Latino USA. It was like an episode from the podcast.
Yeah. You listened to Latino USA?
I saw the title, like, interview with Gina Rodriguez, and I was like, ugh, let me see if they ask her about this, right? And they did. And she kind of just implied the same. Oh, one thing she said in that interview that upset me was, she was like, well, I don't go on social media anymore. And she was essentially saying, you know, like, because people are mean to me. That's what she was saying. And she was like, I just felt like, what is, and the wording is wrong, but she essentially said that she feels, I want to say she feels like she's an activist. Like, she feels that she's wants to make change and do all of these things. And that she realized that social media isn't it for that. That social media, is not the place for activism, essentially. And I feel like a lot of celebrities say that when they get backlash. Like, yeah. They'll be like, oh, you online activists.
And it's like, all right, bitch, are you in the black block or what? Like, what are you doing?
Yes. I hate that. I'm like, no. Like, there is a lot of... It's like to demean you, like to try to make like it smaller. Like, oh, well, you guys are just online complaining and attacking people. But what are you doing in real life? You know, like Regina Rodriguez is essentially saying, like, you all just attack me online, but you don't do anything. And I create roles for these people, which she does not. But that's essentially what she was saying. And it like pissed me off because I'm like, bitch, just say like you got ran off because people were dragging you. You know, like that's what happened. But it's just, why can't, let's just be able to be accountable for what we say and what we do and apologize. And again, not everyone's going to fuck with you after that. Not everyone's going to accept your apology, but at least you're growing and you're willing to listen to people. And that's what like pisses me off about fucking celebrities. But that was just an update on Gina Rodriguez, and I'm sure she'll be saying, apparently her movie flopped.
Which one?
Her movie. She made a movie called Bala.
Oh,
it was like a remake of a Mexican movie. Girl, a few years ago. Yeah, Bala, like bullet. That's what the movie's called. And in that interview with Latino USA, she was kind of bragging, like, "Oh, you know, this was like an all Latinx cast," and you know, whatever. I'm like, what does that mean when you're anti-black? Like, what does it mean for you to make? Or to say I was part of this production that's like all Latinx, and we don't even know if there was like just white Latinx there. Like, we don't know that, but let's just say that there were black Latinx in this film, in this production. But like, what does it mean for the lead, the Latina lead, to be anti-black as fuck and not want to own up to that? But she still wants us to see her as this like Latinx activist in Hollywood. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is, like, with her. Like, I'm so over her. I'm also over this conversation. I hope she would just, like, go into obscurity. And, like, we don't have to, like, talk about this anymore. But the thing is, like, folks keep, like, uplifting her. Like, maybe things will change when her fucking show is off the air, finally. Yeah. Anyway.
Just people, just a lot of celebrities showing their ass. And I guess the main person that was in this in the spotlight this week was Liam Neeson. Yes. So this one is so absurd to me. He's being interviewed about a movie of his that he made. I don't know what it's called, like a new movie he has coming out. And he randomly tells a story about how he's a racist, like out of nowhere, like no one fucking asked him, and he's just like talking about how one of his friends was raped, and she confided in him and told him about it, and he was very upset. And I think when you're listening to the story, you're like, oh, he's a good guy. Yeah. Like, he's upset that his friend was raped, and he's very upset and angered. And he asks her,
What color was he?
Which is like, I feel such a weird question. Like, I would just be like, oh, do you know who he is? Yeah. Like, what color is he? And, you know, she says that it was a black man. And so he says that for 2 weeks or a week, he pretty much wanted to run into a black man so that he can physically assault him and murder him. And why would you say that in an interview? No, like, again, no one fucking asked you. He just randomly started saying this fucking story, and I think maybe in his head he thought he was saying some feel good story about how he was racist, and then he saw the light or some shit. And why would you say that? But also, the amount of white people that were kind of saying they had similar feelings or similar experiences, or saying that what he did wasn't bad because he didn't technically do it, he didn't act out on these feelings, or like didn't understand how it was fucking racist. I just,
yeah. Wow. And one of my online friends, you know, they go by Adam and Eve's on Twitter, they wrote how, like, you know, Liam Neeson was just like a George Zimmerman who didn't find, you know, a Trayvon Martin, right? And I think that's something that people overlook here, is that, like, in their defense, in their, like, rush to defend this, like, old white man, right, who has money and resources, and, like, in order to defend his racism, like, they overlook the fact that, like, people like him exist everywhere, and they actually murder people. They actually enact their racist rage, right? So, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what? A, what compelled him to say this? B, like, I can't, like, I really can't believe, like, to me, this was a one-and-done thing. Like, he should have no career after this. Like, and Mel Gibson got away with so much more. Like, saying so much more bullshit that I'm just like, I have no faith in people. Like, and one of the people who, like, you know, kind of fueled this, like, disbelief in people was Michelle Rodriguez, who was like, oh, Liam Neeson can't be racist because of the way he kissed Viola Davis in Widows. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what is this real life? I'm just like, people are so, like, out of pocket. Like, and people put up the, like, a screenshot of the kiss, and they were like, this cannot be the kiss you're talking about. This kiss looks like a hate crime. Like,
okay, yes. I have two things to add to this. So, number one, let's go back to, what's his fucking name? Liam Neeson. He actually, a few months ago, said that the Me Too movement was a witch hunt. He was one of those actors that came out and was like, you know, all of a sudden everyone, you know, women are accusing men of all stuff. So all of a sudden, so you called the Me Too movement a witch hunt, but yet you were so angry about your friend being assaulted that you wanted to kill someone. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're so outraged by rape that you're willing to kill a black man specifically, right? You're racist, but you're so outraged by this rape, but yet here you are saying that the Me Too movement is a witch hunt. So that doesn't make sense to me. That just says that you're a fucking racist and you wanted an excuse to kill a black man. Because I'm also like, what if she would have said it was a white man? Like, would you have reacted the same way? I don't think so. Second, Michelle Rodriguez is a hot ass mess. Just like Gina and Michelle Rodriguez. I don't know if it's like the last name Rodriguez. That's, if you have that name, I'm sorry. But Michelle Rodriguez, what? She actually apologized. And let me read you all her apology. Her apology about saying this is, to my friends and colleagues and my fans and community, I want to deeply apologize for my recent choice of words. In a pressure-filled situation, I defended a friend in the wrong way. I now realize how insensitive it was. I had no intention of invoking such a terrible historical comparison. I have learned from this and will grow from it. What do you think of that apology?
I'm just like, I think it's a fair apology. But I'm also just like, what? Like, the fact,
but why that, did you say anything?
Yes! Like, the fact that she needs to apologize for this is the problem. It's like, what?
Why? What compelled you to defend this white man? Like, are you that good of friends? Like, what? Okay. But also, taking it back to Michelle Rodriguez.
I don't know. I've had some really good white friends, and nothing in me has been like, I'm going to defend this gringo. Like, if they did something racist, like, that, what? No, like, she is out of her mind.
She is, but you know what? That was a better apology than her last apology for playing a trans man in a movie. And her apology to that, when trans people were upset, she said, I'm bisexual. I do guys, I do girls. You can't really argue with me because I'm you. So if I do a movie, I'd never do a movie with the intention of offending anybody in the LGBT community because I am part of it. Oh shit, I didn't know you were trans, bitch. Like, I'm sad that the first two words were I'm bisexual. I'm like, what?
That's your representation. Representation matters, Cassandra.
I'm like, don't bring us into this, bitch. Like, but, Oh my goodness. I just, you all know we got to drag some celebrities on every episode because they're a hot mess.
Because they're in the news. They're out here. Yeah, you know, the celebrities are out here. And I think, like, the ones that are doing good, like, you know, they're always persecuted, right? And so we have recently, like, 21 Savage was, you know, over, like, taken into ICE custody, right? After speaking up against ICE, right? And this is someone who's apparently had, like, a lot of run-ins with the law before. And, but they never made his citizenship an issue until he started speaking up against the system, right? So, that's important to know.
Yes, and so I think at first people were just making all of these memes about him being from the UK, and which led to Demi Lovato also being dragged. But I think, you know, if you saw Black people making fun of that or memes about that, that's just not something that applies to you, right? Because it's like, how are you joining in on these, like, poking fun at, like, someone being deported, essentially, right? But that was, like, what people were doing instead of focusing on, like, the issue at hand, which was, like, fuck ICE and he's being deported. It was, like, he's from the UK. But, again, those were memes by and for Black people and not really, like, a chance for everyone else to jump in and, on that. But what I did see a lot of, too, though, unfortunately, was a lot of non-Black Latinxes using this moment to be anti-Black as fuck. And one tweet, I'm going to read it to you all, is, and this is just one example, but there was a lot of different people saying this. I'm seeing a lot of 21 Savage has been here since he was 12. He's American. Please keep that energy when a dreamer like myself tells you I've been here since the age of 2 and I'm still not considered American. And there was, like, another tweet like that was just like, oh, like, you all care about 21 Savage. Well, Latinxes have been dealing with this issue forever. Like, just a lot of those comments. And it's like, number one, a lot of the people that care about 21 Savage being deported all care about this issue, period, right? It's not like they're just concerned about, I'm sure there's, like, a few people that empathize more because this is, like, some, like, an artist that they relate to, someone that they listen to, but in general, it's like everyone that's outraged is outraged all the time that people are getting deported, right? It's not like all of a sudden everyone cares because it's him. But also, Latinxes are just, we go back to this, like, that immigration is just a Latinx issue, and specifically a non-Black Latinx issue, and it's not, because Black immigrants get deported at higher rates. They suffer abuse at the hands of ICE at higher rates, and it's just it's, like, not acknowledged and it's erased, because the conversation is always on fucking non-Black Latinxes, specifically Mexicans. And we're talking about that too, but it's like, this is what you're tweeting? Like, this is, like, instead of saying, like, I'm a dreamer, I understand what 21 Savage is probably going through, like, you know what I mean? Like, instead you're like, oh, well, you all don't care about me because I'm Latinx. That's essentially what you're saying. And it's, like, shaking my head, SMH.
And at the end of the day, that comes from the fact that, like, non-Black Latinxes, like, don't see Black Latinxes. Like, they don't exist to them. So it's like, they can't connect this struggle at all. And it's just so, it's so wild to me that y'all tell on yourselves like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like this whole episode was just us, like, naming people and talking shit about them.
Yeah, I mean, this is what this podcast is about.
That is what it is about. But is there anyone else? Well, I don't know.
My mother. Let's talk shit about her.
Your mother? Your mother?
She's been problematic a couple times in her life.
Talk shit about...
Yeah.
So who are we playing this episode? Yeah, so this, like, week and, like, you know, ever since last episode, everything's just been a mess. So we want to, like, you know, clear the energies with some healing music. And very little is as healing as Solange, who you might know from, like, I don't know. I feel like she doesn't have, like, hits. But for me, she's just, like, so essential. And so, like, I don't know. And it's sometimes it's difficult to talk about her without comparing her, right? But it's like she has like the biggest star in the world as a sister and like somebody, and she still found a way to be
has her own lane.
Yeah. Yeah. So Solange to me, I have always known about her, you know, because she used to dance for Destiny's Child, and like I was like a diehard Destiny's Child fan, and I knew everything, right? And then, but then, like, I don't know, was it, like, 6 years ago when her true EP album, like, EP came out? Like, I just, like, was such a fan of her stuff. Like, that album really spoke to me. Like, it's still, like, I have to play that album, like, at least once a week. Like, it's, like, I've never had that connection with an album. And it was because, like, she was explaining, like, what it was like to be, like, kind of lost in life. And I think she was also in her mid-20s when she put that out. Because I think she's just a little bit older than me. So I think when she made the album, she was going through what I was going through when she put out the album. I don't know if that made sense to people the way I said that. But, yeah, like, she was being, like, messy but depressed and, like, in love but wasn't mature enough to handle love. Like, I just, it was, ugh. And then when the Losing You video came out, I was like, wow, this is the aesthetic. Like, this is what life should look like. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I love Solange. I actually love Soul Angel and the Hadley Street Dreams, which was, it's actually not her first album. It's her second album. I never really got into her first album. It's called Solo Star.
Yeah, I was
mad. But her second album, the one before the true EP, I would listen to that, like, all the time. And I think it's a lot different from the True EP. I think her style has changed with everything that she's released, but it's all good. It's like, it's all different, but it's all just so good in its own way. And so if you, like, I think a lot of people know who Solange is, but might not be familiar with her music, or maybe you listened to A Seat at the Table, but didn't really listen to anything prior to that, you should definitely check out her previous music. Previous albums, because yeah, like I love Soul Angel and the Hadley Street Dreams, and I just love it. It's so good. And aside from like her music, I just loved Solange. Like I still do, but I just love her energy. I love her. I love that she don't give a fuck. And I remember like when that elevator video came out with like the Jay-Z Beyonce video came out, like, and everyone was talking shit about her. I was so mad. I was like I was just like, don't talk shit. Like every time someone says something about Solange, like I get so mad. Anyway, I just love her. I love her to death. I think she's like so authentic and genuine, and you can just really tell that she rides for Beyonce because that's her fucking sister, and she's not like, I think people try to always pit them next to each other, like if they're in competition, or that Solange is like somehow implying that she's upset or like feels some way about Beyonce being Beyonce, but it's not, like you can tell that Solange just like always roots for her sister, and still she's still her own person. Yeah. I don't know, I just love Solange.
Yeah, I think it's because what's her name, I saw an interview with Tina Knowles who was like when she saw that Beyonce's career was, like, you know, becoming this meteoric thing, that she took Solange to therapy immediately to deal with that because she didn't want her to feel any type of way, right? And I think that was really important. And I think that a lot of us don't think about therapy, like, the various uses of therapy. Like, jealousy is such, like, a human emotion, and I can't imagine, like, you know, like, my sisters and I experience, like, career jealousy sometimes. I'm like, we're fucking mediocre. Like, I can't imagine, like,
like, yeah, having Beyonce as your sister. Yeah. And you're also an artist yourself.
Yeah.
and always having people compare you to her all the time. Mm. I can't even imagine that, but I think when I read that Tina Knowles said that and that she did that, I was like, wow. Like, that is great parenting.
Yeah.
Like, that is amazing. So props to her. And anyway.
Yeah.
Love Solange.
Yeah. In the same interview, she was like, that she, like, tried to teach him about Black art, too. And I thought that was also really important. And really, it's really apparent in Solange's, like, discography, like, and her, like, visual, her aesthetic, like, how important, like, Black history and art has been to her, like, manifestation as an artist. I think about how, like, Solange is, like, she doesn't just think about, like, her music. She thinks about, how is this music gonna move me, like, physically? How is it gonna look? Like, how much space is it gonna take up? It's just, like, her sound is, like, all-encompassing. And that's something that I really appreciate about Solange. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about Solange, which she, if you follow Solange and you read interviews or see, or if you follow her on Twitter, you'll just see how amazing she is. But what I remember, I think back in 2013, I don't even know what happened. There was just a bunch of white journalists who, I don't know if it was one specific article that this journalist wrote about R&B as a whole, like, and Solange was like, how are you gonna write like this piece without mentioning Brandy? And a lot of people were like laughing at her because people were trying to act like Brandy is not relevant, or Brandy, like, who's talking about Brandy in like this year, right? Like in 2013. And she was just kind of going off like, you don't know shit about Brandy. Like, you, if you don't know shit about how, like, impactful Brandy was, then you have no reason to write about R&B. And I remember there was this other time she called someone out about Q-Tip as well and his contributions. But anyway, so she had said that. And then some, like, another white journalist was told her, what did he say to her? No, he said, I went to Solange's concert and I noted who her audience was. And if I were her, I'd be careful making these statements because I'd be careful not to bite the hand that feeds me. So this is like what they were saying about her, just because she was defending fucking R&B, right? Something that she obviously knows more about than fucking white journalists. But anyway, on A Seat at the Table, she, one of like the images that she made, it was just like bite the hand, like over and over and over and over. Anyway. It was just amazing to me.
No, yeah, that was also impactful to me. I think it was because, I think with the story, the full story was that, like, she was a DJ. Because she was DJing and, like, creating fashions before her true EP album, like, really launched her, like, career into this new phase that we're seeing now. And they were making fun of her DJ skills because she played, like, a Brandy deep cut, is what it was. Mm. And they were like, how is she, like, you know, Solange is out of her mind, like, playing, like, Brandy deep cuts. And it's like, and I think she said, like, don't talk to me until you know the significance of that five-letter, like, name. And it's like, yeah, I think that was so, so important. I can't think, Solange is, like, one of the most important figures to me, TBH. Like, I have cried to True EP so many times, to A Seat at the Table. Like, I'm getting a Cranes in the Sky tattoo. Like, I really... Oh,
that song is just so... I don't want to say peaceful. It's just healing, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just so, like, you listen to it and you can just doze off, fall asleep, or just, I don't know. It just makes me feel, like, at peace, like, calm.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on. I don't know. That's such a beautiful song.
Yeah. Cranes in the Sky. But we are not playing that song today.
No, because I'm all no, because then we're playing a more upbeat song because this week has just been a hot mess and we're trying to get the energy going.
Yeah.
Positive energy.
Positive energy to end your Aquarius season with and to usher in my birthday.
Yeah. Well, yes. And Solange is an Aquarius moon.
Yes.
So she's not an Aquarius, but she is an Aquarius moon. And you can definitely tell she has Aquarius energy.
Yeah, I feel that. I felt the Aquarius energy. Like, it's so powerful in her. Because she's so weird. She's like, nobody's doing what she does.
She's a weirdo.
Yeah.
She's a weirdo, and it's not, like, performative.
No. Yeah. Even the way she dances, like, really, like...
I love how she dances.
It's just, like, it's...
So cute.
Yeah, it's not, like, Britney, like, cat, cat, cat. But it's still, like, powerful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I love her. So we're playing Losing You, which was, like, one of the things that got her on the map in the last decade. You know, it's a song about, like, you know, making peace with a breakup.
Yeah, so we're going to end on this note, and we will hopefully record another episode again this month, because at the beginning of the year, I think we were just both trying to deal with our own shit and get into the groove of things again. But now here we are, middle. Well, no, it's not the middle of February yet. Almost the beginning. It's still the beginning. Yes. And we hope that the rest of Black History Month is not a shit show. And we also hope that you have a great Valentine's Day. And I know a lot of people hate Valentine's Day, and we can go into the whole capital. You know, I always say, like, it's a capitalist holiday. Yeah. Just like every other fucking holiday. But I love Valentine's Day. I think it's cute as fuck. And you don't need to be romantic. It doesn't need to be like this romantic, like, thing. You can just hang out with your friends. Hang out with yourself. Love yourself. Like, just do something pleasurable. That's what my therapist told me. That's what my therapist told me to do every week. Do something pleasurable. I'm like, I'm going to go to a Trump rally.
My therapist told me to stop talking to my sister, so.
Oh, my God. Okay. We should talk about some our therapist sessions next time. But
TBH.
Yeah, just love yourself. Do something fun. I don't know. Tell your friend you love them. Do something. Just love yourself and enjoy Valentine's Day. And
just a heads up, we have an event coming up at UC Riverside for the Presente Conference. The Presente Conference is a conference for LGBTQ, Latinx, Chicanx, Indigenous folks, and folks who, you know, identify as any of these things. The conference is like 2 or 3 days, but we will only be there. We will be speaking on the first night, on March 1st, and that event is open for everybody. So even if you don't go to the conference, if you're near Riverside, go see us. That event is open to everybody. If you want to book us for your school, reach out to us. Our email address is bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com. Again, that's bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com. Or you can go to bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings for like a lot of information on like how to book us and like what we bring to the table and where we've been and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, because we want to see y'all and we want to see each other, because remember, we're like in 2 different states.
So with that, we'll end on Losing You by Solange, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Remember to follow us. Bye.